We're going to read just a few verses. They'll come up on the screen from Ephesians. They come within a passage where Paul is talking to the Ephesians about moving from death to life and about God's mercy and God's love. There are a few verses which are often quoted just in part and need to be seen in the context in which they come. And they're verses that you will probably know well, but often we tend to learn just the first one. I read just those verses to you, chapter 2, verses 8 through to 10. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. And there's just one PowerPoint slide that will come up behind the talk. As you know, in the year we've been thinking about handing on the eternal flame, passing on the message of Jesus, indeed passing on relationship with Jesus, as Michael has just shared with us. You can grow up within a Christian home and a Christian church, but unless you come to that point where you really, as it were, begin to seek God's kingdom, where you experience the work of God for yourself, and really it's just theory. It's not experiential, it's not personal. For by grace you have been saved through faith. We often stress that, don't we? That we cannot, by our mere works, our good deeds, our efforts, experience the salvation of God. So we can't show off, because we know that it's God's work in Jesus that we accept freely that actually saves us. That's incredibly important. But sometimes we can be quite pompous about that when we actually then actually say to people, well, you know, you think you're going to get into heaven by good works, but it's not good works. But the second part of Paul's teaching is that we are God's workmanship. God has done a work. God works, but also he has good works. He has a job of work for us to do. Alexandra, can you invite Sheila to come in and join us? Thanks. Okay, thanks, Alexandra. So God has works for us to do. And today we're going to be thinking about a spirituality of work in all our thinking about prayer and spirituality. We're going to ask what our attitude is to work, what our attitude is to labour. And I want to warn you that towards the end of the talk, I may well ask you, not if I don't know you very well, something about what your work entails. So watch out. If you leave early, we'll know you're avoiding the question. So we'll hold those scriptures in our mind. This is the only slide for us today, which is a picture of Christ the worker, Christ the workman. I love Addie Bethune's woodcuts, often used on the front of the Catholic Worker. I think it's an amazing reminder to us that Jesus was a worker, not just in the sense that he carried out the work of God upon the cross, but that he was a carpenter. What is your attitude to work? And how has your attitude to work been shaped? Let's just take 2 minutes, okay? Have a conversation with your neighbour. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. If you're not next to a neighbour, turn round and talk to them. What has shaped your attitude to work? So I don't mind if you're retired now, whatever, but what shapes your attitude, right? You two ladies have to talk to one another. You can go closer to the heater. That'll make you warmer. So you're concerned about your team and their well-being at work. That's fascinating. What else shapes your attitude to work? Just move around, want to grab somebody. Anybody else want to say what? What has shaped and formed your attitude to work? Go on then, Anne.
What's shaped my attitude to work is the need that I see in the children at the school, that they need love, attention, and educating correctly.
Good start. We're not going to comment either way on any of these. Right, none of you had a lot to say. none of yours. What shapes your attitude to work?
The fact that I make my customers happy.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you want to achieve at work. So one of your attitudes is, I want to make my customers happy. Well, you've swallowed the M&S parcel. Well done. I'll definitely buy out of M&S. That sounds good. Henry, go on then.
My attitude I made many years ago. I will work for Jesus till the shadows fall, labour for the Master till I hear his call. When the dewy evening, when the gleaners leave, I shall come rejoicing,
bringing in the sheaves. Amen. Somebody else? These are all important. They're very important, these things. Anything else that shapes your attitude to work? Bernie, could you perhaps share something? Not an easy one, but...
I work with children and young people with life-threatening, life-limiting conditions in a hospice. And what motivates me is my love for children and young people. And my example is Jesus, and how he always thought of children and young people, where other people often thought that they were not important and they wanted to move them out of the way. Jesus always had a love and a heart for kids, and that's what motivates me.
Thank you very much. One more person, Pauline. Do you want to say what shapes your attitude to work? We'll have two. We'll have Pauline and we'll maybe have Addy. Were you in the same group? I don't know.
Towards work is being a part of a community.
Okay.
And working with the community.
Okay. Addy, how about you? There's a businessman here.
Is to make them feel like pretty.
Right.
And when they are pretty, they say, oh, God loves them. They made you like that.
That's from a hairdresser, beautician. Thank you very much. It's interesting because you've all, in some ways, talked about your attitude and maintaining an attitude to work. I think often our attitude to work is shaped by how we experience work. So if work is awful, our attitude to work is quite different from if we enjoy the work we do. Our parents will have shaped our attitude to work. Maybe our parents worked very hard. Maybe they didn't. But our parents will have shaped our attitude to work. There's also what's called the Protestant work ethic that many of you will have experienced as well. And you might like to do some reading about that. I think some of that is very, very good, and some of it is not good at all, the Protestant work ethic. That tends to be that you work hard, you live frugally, you try and prosper, and how you do in all of those will show you something about salvation. I don't necessarily think that's a particularly biblical view about work, but it's inherited lots of our thinking. There's a Catholic view of work, which is actually quite different, which is to do with salvation not being now, but in the future, and how we work will actually affect that salvation. So there's different views about work, which we may or may not be aware of, and often we've imbibed, they've soaked into us by the people we have been with. What is our attitude to work? And is our attitude actually shaped by the Bible? Quite a few of you talked about different things that have shaped your attitude about Jesus' view of work and so on. So today we're actually thinking about that. And if you look in any dictionary of New Testament words, you'll see that there are dozens upon dozens, hundreds of references to work. It's spoken about a phenomenal amount. And I want to suggest to you that yet again, if we're thinking about real spirituality, about knowing God and Jesus who he sent, we have to go back to the Bible and we have to unlearn some of our wrong ideas about work, and we have to learn new ways of looking at work. Not least because, and I needlessly remind many of you, that we have 6 out of every 7 days, every week of the year, to get our work done before we rest. And most of us have fallen foul of a work tradition which says if we are in work, we will be anxious, exhausted, and never have time to rest. That is not a biblical view of work, is it? It's a driven view of work, which comes often from misunderstandings about who we are. And I've often been accused of being a workaholic. So we have to adjust our attitude to work. As we focus on developing our relationship with God, developing a true and deep spirituality, we need to have an understanding about work, about task and time. That may not mean that we work less, but it may mean that we take a different attitude to work. And I suggest that this relates to work, whether it's paid or whether we're looking for paid work. We're not in paid work currently. It relates to volunteering or unpaid work. And it even relates to us if we are retired, because each of us has work to do in every single day of our lives. And the balance of work and leisure and prayer is very significant in developing a wholesome spirituality. In fact, prayer actually is work. One of the major ways, the wage of works by which the kingdom of God comes into being on the earth is through prayer. Prayer is the work. I wonder how you feel about people who pray in key parts, long periods of time, whether they're really working. How do you view them? Do you view them in a way that God views them? What is our attitude to work and workers? Workers should be given their pay, says Jesus in Luke 10 and verse 7. But he's actually talking about this when he sends his disciples out on their mission into the world. He's not offering them a wage, but he's saying to them, the worker is worthy of their hire, so stay with the people that will support you and provide for you. I want to remind you that Jesus himself was reliant in doing the work of salvation on wealthy women to subsidize that work. Jesus was prepared to make himself vulnerable so that he could carry out the work of God. And he could not have done it without the support of those people. So what is our attitude to work? How do we treat people when we meet them? People that we work with, or people who are not in work, people who are volunteers that may work for our organisation, people who are retired. How do we view them? And if we're retired, how do we feel we are treated? Is it different to when we were in paid work? Why is it that people, including Christians, so look forward to retirement? Now, sometimes it's because they're very tired and they want a different rhythm to their lives. But sometimes it is because they're basically very unhappy in the working world. Some people think paid work is the only type of real work, don't they? They think if you're a volunteer or you're serving God in an unpaid way, perhaps, that it's not real work, because paid work gives people status. It makes them feel they have some importance. Paid work is important. We feel it adds professionalism to things. And of course, we're very aware if government or other people just want real jobs to be done by volunteers, that maybe standards will fall and so on. How do we view voluntary work? How do we view works of service? Are they as important as the people who are engaged in paid work? If they're not, then sometimes we view volunteers or people in unpaid work as inferior. So women in previous generations were, or even now, can be heard to say, even now, no, I don't work, I'm just a housewife. And you just want to say, you've believed the propaganda. You work very, very, very hard. Some people are heard to say things like this, and I can well remember one of my great uncles saying to me, when will you stop being a pen pusher and get a real job? people have very strange ideas that they've learnt for generations about work, don't they? Whether it's menial or managerial, there are all sorts of strange attitudes. So we do need to think how we view this as Christian people, and particularly in a society where the nature of work is changing. And you understand that, obviously, don't you? The nature of work is changing in many areas of society. Our identity is tied into our work, and work, whether it's paid or unpaid, gives us meaning and purpose in our lives. And I'll suggest reasons in a moment. And so we keep thinking of that scripture. We are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for a life of good works. God has work for us to do. We are God's work of art. So Jesus gives us an understanding, I believe, that work can be not just paid or unpaid, but work can actually be service, or to use another word, worship. The whole of our work and our resting can be service and can be worship. And that begins to make real sense of what we do with so much of our time. Do you think in your life in those terms? That working or resting? Hallelujah. We will praise God. And this balance of work, leisure and prayer is what we're seeking, to be truly spiritual people. The interesting thing is that work is often viewed very negatively. I don't know if you've noticed that. We should not be surprised at this because of the difficult place the workplace is for so many, many people. But also, there are many wrong ideas about work that are circulated even in the churches. Some people, including Christians, seem to think that utopia or heaven on earth is a place where work has been abolished. They think that's got to be heaven on earth, hasn't it? It's got to be utopia. They think where work is abolished. And I understand that. Because work is often tiring, it's tough, and it's even boring. But there is another view about what work can be and how we can view it each day. And I don't just mean work in the workplace out there. I mean work within the home, work within the community, work through the church. Please understand that I'm just doing an introduction today. It's almost a discussion starter for you and us to think about as we think about work and the nature of work. I've suggested, and I want to underline, that work, whether paid or voluntary, whether paid or unpaid, can be viewed as service and as worship. It is not just the means by which we earn the daily crust. Okay? Now, this is certainly not spoken of as much as in the past, that work is service. It was spoken of a lot in Britain, and I presume various other powers, that in fact there was a civil service, and people in public office, it was to be a life of service for the greater good. It was to be for other people, not just so that I may gain personal wealth. We've moved further and further away from a biblical, a Judeo-Christian understanding of work, and all of us, including us as Christians, have become very materialistic. And we need to think about ourselves, what view we have of work. In the past, we even spoke about labours of love, didn't we? That people through their working life carried out. Indian poets like Khalil Gibran talked about love being made visible. That's what work really was. That you might think that's being terribly romantic, but he meant in a very practical way that both the legal service, banking, and all other fields could actually be love made visible. obviously that takes account of the works of parenting and grandparenting and volunteering and the caring professions. We live in a country, and there are many in the world, where so much is achieved through volunteering. Think about street pastors. I was at a dinner at the International Britannia Hotel on the island yesterday, just hearing, as I said, about what's being achieved through street pastors. The keynote speaker was the acting chief constable for Avon, and he was saying how it is so easy as a police officer to lose your sense of compassion. You are dealing with people all the time who are vagrants and other things like that. And yet, for him, it was seeing the work of street pastors that helped restore in him and many of his officers a fresh understanding of compassion and trying to keep that within his chosen profession. So much can be achieved through volunteers and the example that often they set. God works, and so do we if we are human. And we are asked to copy and to continue the work of God. Don't know if you feel that's what you're actually doing. Some people mentioned that, both Henry and Bernie and others made reference to that and making people realise who they are and that they're loved, they're in the image of God. We continue and copy the work of God. As our Bible passage said, we are God's workmanship, and he has prepared good works for us to do. So through our work, which is probably what we spend the bulk of our time doing, we can actually demonstrate the love of God. We can be doing God's work. Not because we're labelled missionaries or community workers, but each of us can be doing God's work. When I was younger, I got a view that work or labour was actually a curse from the fall. Did any of the rest of you ever get that idea? Well, work and labour came in because of the fall of human beings from the perfect relationship with God. Well, that's only half the story, isn't it? It's not the full biblical picture. Because the fall is reversed through Jesus Christ. As Julian of Norwich would say, within the mercy of God, the fall is reversed. And often it's human sin that is used to exploit others through work, isn't it? People who bully and manipulate and expect people to work too hard and not for fair remuneration. So it is often the fall that has brought the curse to work. But work in itself does not have to be a curse. Work, the other side of the story, is can be transformed into service and worship for God. Not to climb back to God, but to do the work of God, to be workers for God in the world. And isn't it in Corinthians that Paul says, I'm a co-worker with God. I work with God. God is my workmate. And I work with God. What an amazing idea. I am a co-worker with God who is at work. And also my friends who are believers throughout the world, I'm a co-worker with them, as it says in Philemon verse 1. You are my friends and co-workers. We are workers together. So work is actually something to do with service and worship. So not just mission work, but all work can be worship and service. And that's getting nearer to a biblical view. Some people would actually say work is sacred. It's holy. It is for God. It is worship in itself, for the praise of God and for the benefit of not just myself, but for the world. Can you just put your hand up? You don't have to say anything. If something you do actually in work that's either paid or unpaid benefits others, not just yourself, can I just say? Nearly everybody is acknowledging that. So work can be for the praise of God and the benefit not just of myself, but of the world. In other words, there is a task within the task. I may be a nurse, I may be a lawyer, I may be a cleaner. Whatever I am, there can be a task within the task, which is to get to know God, to praise God, to reflect God to the world, to help other people. And seeing work in that light, it makes it much more than just the means by which I've heard Christians say, I only work to get enough money to provide for me and my family so then I can do God's work. What a crazy understanding of work, a misunderstanding. I'm not saying everybody views work like this, but I'm saying those who are followers of God can and perhaps should view work in this way. Think about how Jesus viewed his life. And think about how we view work. We won't always find it easy. There's a man called David Westcott. He used to be the personnel manager of the whole of KPMG's work. So a significant person in one of our major public service organisations. But he's now engaged in pastoral work all the time. And he said human work should always reflect God's work. And he suggested three ways in which it should. He said, creative work. We should be able to form something of value. Sustaining work. We should be able to maintain what already exists. And redemptive work. We should be involved in healing and reconciliation and repairing what is broken. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to think about the job you do or the volunteering you do. Is it creative, the work in your life, the whole of your life? Do you form something of value? Is it sustaining? Are you maintaining something that already exists? Is it redemptive? Does it involve healing, reconciliation and repair of that which is broken? You might say, no, my actual paid job doesn't. But then you think about the work of your whole life. Are you copying God? Are those elements of creative, sustaining and redemptive work involved? I'm going to ask Hilary in a moment, first of all, about her role as a teacher. Dreadful, shouldn't do that, really. You've got a bit of time to think. How do we do our work and what results are important to us? You've started to say some of those things. Not just how much money and influence we gain, but what are we trying to do and what results are important, whether it's paid or unpaid. I've met a man recently who was a High Court judge, and he is retired, he's in his 70s, he's on a course I'm doing, and he has become a sculptor. And you can't imagine the life change that has happened to a man that was a High Court judge and is now in retirement. Discovering a whole new way. Yet probably most of his working life he was involved in sustaining work to maintain the legal system and a system of justice. He might even have considered, but maybe not, he was involved in redemptive work. Whether it was creative or not, I don't know how he views it. Not as creative as what he's doing now in his sculpting. Okay, Hilary, you're a head teacher. You teach at a school called Barley Lane. You don't just work at work, but I imagine work's a big part of your life. What percentage do you think? Okay, so up to a 65-hour week. You obviously then have your church work, you have your work as a wife and a mother and all those other things. If you think about the job that you do, would you say there is elements of creative, sustaining, redemptive work? It's a tough question for you. She has had no prior warning. Sustaining, maintaining what already exists. So there's more development and more creative work in development. Redemptive work, healing, reconciling, repairing what is broken.
That can be between children who are argued. It can be between children who are saying, I'm Muslim, I'm not going to be Christian. It could be between parents who are
But presumably many children come to you and they're damaged because of their upbringing, so you're trying to make them into more whole people through the learning experience. Lovely. Who would like to volunteer? And I hope I'll know what you do for a job of work or whether you're retired. I'm going to pick on you. You may not know the answers. All the eyes have gone down. I've just seen the eyes gone down. Mimi, you work in retail, don't you? You're studying. Have you left H&M or wherever? That was a summer job. So you're studying again. Wow. Okay. Righty-ho. And ultimately your goal? Yes. So it's merchandising. It's a very key part of the working world, okay? Purchase, power, and things like that. Is your work creative, do you think, overall? So it's extremely creative, almost wacky, but so very creative, okay? So in a way, in that creativity, you're seeking to model and to copy God as in his creative work. Is that a new thought to you? Totally new thought to you. Is it sustaining? Are you trying to maintain what already exists?
Trying to maintain the brand ethos, I guess.
So. Brand ethos. Okay. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? And what institutions in retail and sustainability, where they're involved or whether it's all new. Is it redemptive? Does it involve healing and reconciliation and repair of what's broken? Okay, so you might want to think more about that, and in your life, many people don't have, I'm not talking you, but generally, satisfaction, because a lot of their world, it may in interpersonal relationships at work, with colleagues, listening to their problems and talking with them, but sometimes people find they're not really involved in something that's healing, reconciling, repairing, and they feel there are whole elements missing. I'd like you to think about your jobs. We could each talk about them, but in what sense we feel the work that we do actually reflects God's creative power. Also, if we're not in paid work, if we're now retired or we're volunteering, we might like to think about what we're doing. Some people just see volunteering as a step towards getting a job, which I can understand. Some people in retirement, it's much, much more. But how do we view work? What are the creative elements, the sustaining elements, the redemptive elements? We're nearly finishing. How do we do our work? What results are important? I want to suggest to you, to close, that there can be four purposes to work, and you can think about those. I've talked about those elements, about actually copying God in his work, and that he gives us work to do. That's what we've been thinking about. He's prepared things for us to do. But this is the suggestion. And again, this comes from the framework that David Westcott uses. Work can be to glorify God. The way we do our work can give worship and praise to God. Whether we're in paid work or unpaid work, whether we're working at home, out of the home, whether we're working, moving from nation to nation, it can be to glorify God. Secondly, work can be seen as actually working with God. Okay? That there's a biblical view that we work with God to bring in the kingdom of God. And that, I believe, could be, we could look at any one of your jobs and we could talk about what it means to bring in the kingdom of God through the jobs that you have. Whether that's in retail and marketing, whether it's in law, whether it's in education, wherever it is, I think it can actually work. Thirdly, work is to do with using the potential, the gifting that God has given us. And so it is from that that the element of fulfillment comes. That might not be our paid work, which is important, that may come through our volunteering and our service. But the attitude we should bring to whatever work is that it is service, it is worship. And fourthly, work is to do with serving others. And many of you mentioned that at the beginning, providing for their needs. That could be reception work, that could be all types of work. Work for many is degrading. It's inhuman and meaningless for many people. And we must work to see that this changes. The nature of work has changed. This is a massive agenda. But if people are not through their lives obtaining meaning and actually able to glorify God and use the gifts that they have through their work, whether it's paid or unpaid, then there's going to be a real lack of peace, a lack of spirituality within that life. It's not easy. This is an introduction. We need to have a view of work. The people round about us who are not believers may have a very different attitude. But isn't it interesting to talk with them about their attitudes at work? That may be the means by which we start a conversation in the workplace. They may not want to talk about Jesus, but when we look at why work is happening in the way that it is, that may be a way that we can make contact with other people, through talking about work and listening to them. Let's pray. We're just going to have